Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's time for Seminole Headlines featuring WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron, managing editor Ira Schofel, and senior writer Corey Clark. Your weekly dose of all things FSU, pistols, and pies starts right now. Here's Jeff Cameron.
The Seminole Headlines, as the man said, begins right now. 93.3 Real Talk Radio, WarChant TV. Good to be with you. Good to be undefeated. It's good to not lose to Middle Tennessee State. It's just good to be a Knoll right now. Florida State 4-0. That's Ira and Corey in the other room. We begin. Hey, in a second, we have a reveal. Ira, you already know what it is. Corey, I think you do too. But we have a reveal here in a second. Let's start, though, with our friends at Register Sausage. Yay, sausage! Easy to do now, man. The promo codes are getting kicked out left and right.
Yeah, man, every week.
Boom, all the time.
I'm worried about Ben.
What was it this week? What was the code?
I think it might have been Benson.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's a good code.
And I think that's for 25% off of your order at Register Sausage. Registermeats.com is the website. And I'm worried about he's getting so caught up in the emotion, he's giving the store away. He's going crazy.
Yeah.
He's crazy Ben. Bonkers Ben.
Yeah, that's right. Like a car he's be locked up in an insane asylum.
Well, if we get to 5-0, who knows? He may just sell it to us for $1. The whole kit and caboodle.
Yeah. $1, limited time only.
That's it.
If you live in Florida, of course, right now it might be tough getting in the grocery stores in Florida.
There's some of them, yeah.
Some of the grocery stores might have some lines, but probably not for the sausage.
No.
Like while everybody else is fighting for the water and the toilet paper and whatever else they're fighting over, go to the Register Sausage and get all the sausage you want, all the great andouille, all the delicious cheddar and jalapeno sausages.
I had some at a tailgate on Saturday before I went over to
Indigo. Before you came over to
Hotel
Indigo?
Tailgate,
yeah.
And they had a jalapeno cheddar for me.
Nicely done.
Was great. And I'll be honest, I hadn't eaten a lot of sausage in the last 6 or 7 months because of things. But man, it was good to get back on the horse.
And you didn't feel like you felt good afterwards.
I felt
You're
great.
All good.
I wondered why I hadn't been eating more sausage.
Well, there we go. There we go.
Registermeats.com is the website. And like we said, they've got that promo code throughout the week. I think it's all caps Benson. I'll double check, but I think it's all caps Benson and you get 25% off.
All right. So right off the bat, we doff the cap to Bill, who just decided to say, here you go, boys. Thank you, Bill.
All right, Bill.
Appreciate you getting the show started with a bang. And now it gives me a chance to segue here to this. So our friend of the program here, Hollow Well Woodcrafting is his business. It's Ken. We know him as Ken. We just call him Ken.
Right.
Ken Hollowell. He, last year, I don't know if you guys can see it in the other room there on Iris Cam. Sometimes you can during the JCS.
It's too high.
But
there's another one above Corey's head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the corner.
And so that one says what? Top 60, smoke them if you got them. What was it?
Top 60 defense. 2021 top 60 defense.
Right. Yeah. So we got a wood carving of that.
And same with the top 60 offense on the other side, because that's all we were shooting for last year. Just try to get in the top
modest
60.
Modest goals, guys.
Yeah.
Modest goals.
And so he's carving this into existence. Like he hears us talking about it. He carved it last year. They weren't top 60 when he carved it.
No. He carves it, and then when it happens, we put them on the walls in the studio.
And so this one he did a couple weeks ago. We were talking about Florida State being a top 25
team. How soon
team.
Could we be a top 25 team? That's right. I always said, well, if they go 4-0, they're probably going to be in the top 25. Well, guys, here you go right there on camera. Look at that work.
That's
Look at
crazy,
that. How
man.
Good is that? Can we please run the flea flicker? is what it says down there at the bottom. 2022 AP NCAA Top 25. Now, listen, we don't stop there. This is where we lived forever.
Yeah. He better be carving a top five one in November.
Yeah, soon he'll be carving a new national championship one. But for now, look at how beautiful that is.
That really is. Incredible.
Yeah, he does incredible work. And
Hollowell Woodcrafting is the name of the
But he always tells me don't even promote it. He's not doing it for that.
I did that on my own.
I know.
Because he's been so kind. He just donates these things to the cause while listening to the show. And whenever we harp on something or get our mind to something, he decides to carve it into existence, as Ira correctly pointed out. And he carved this. And, you know, here's the thing, like you said, never asked for anything. I showed up to work over a week ago. It was just sitting on my desk over there. They're like, oh, somebody sent this to you. I was like, my man, look at this. Here we go. So it's a beautiful thing. Florida State is indeed in the top 25. More importantly, they just keep winning games and looking better and better in doing so. And I'm crossing my fingers because we're going to get this question a lot today. Whether or not the game's going to be played, I don't know the answer to that definitively. I don't think any of us do. Judging from a distance, as we all can, anecdotal evidence and the information we have, it doesn't look like the game will need to be moved. Yeah. But knock on wood, and we'll have to wait
knock
and see.
Knock on the carving.
We can, but we don't know for sure. I want to play the game for a lot of reasons. Obviously not at the expense of people's safety and all that other stuff. We understand there's a lot of people. My parents live down in Bradenton. My grandmother lives in St. Petersburg.
Are they coming up, by the way? Are they evacuating a hope? Or
so where they are, they've got my grandmother. They took her out of Treasure Island in St. Pete there. They've moved over. They're safe right now. I don't know where they're going to end up, but right now they're safe. So, and we're wishing all of that for all of you guys,
yes, absolutely,
all over the state that are preparing for this, and obviously take it seriously and do what you have to be safe. But
Corey's offered anybody that wants to stay with him.
Just come on up.
Yeah. I mean, there's an age range, clearly.
Yeah, 18 to 25-year-old women are all free to come right
25,
on up.
25 to 35.
Gotcha,
come on, man. Yeah. I'm not a creep.
You're not DiCaprio.
No, exactly.
This is in 2018.
And also, Stephanie watches this and listens to this. So that was a funny joke.
Yeah.
It was a funny joke we just had. But, yeah, man, anybody – I do hope people get out of the way, man. Don't be a hero. Get out of the way if you're – especially if you're within a flooding range.
Oh, sure, right. Well, I think that's common sense.
But
right?
Don't you think look – just the vibe you get looking at the way it's tracking, looking the way other college football, like Florida moved theirs to Sunday.
And they're going to get
a lot more rain. I think there's talk about, schools in South Carolina moving their games or North Carolina moving their games. So the fact that they're doing it, you wouldn't think that Tallahassee right now looks like it's in the clear. It seems like it would be foolhardy to not play this game where there might be other ACC games that can't be played. And the ACC will really want this game to be played. So will ESPN.
Yeah, I hope. And again, I'm not trying to be callous or crass in any way. We understand the human aspect of all this. But honestly, from a business standpoint, from a timing standpoint, it would really behoove Florida State to play this football game against Wake Forest on Saturday. I think Florida State's in a great position to compete in this game and to win this game against the Wake Forest team coming off a double overtime loss to Clemson.
Yeah.
I also think that there's a real good chance that if you move this game, the situation is very, very different. So for now, I mean, again, purely talking about football and a little bit of revenue here, I am saying that I hope they get to play the game. They're going to take a hit either way, by the way, with the revenue part of this, because not a lot of people are going to be able to travel if they're currently located, say, South Florida, Orlando,
and
those places.
And it's a tough thing to talk about because
it makes you seem like an ass.
Exactly. And Swiss Irish just said in the chat, Swiss Irish won, that, how serious Michael was.
Oh, yeah.
And, man, when I was driving to New Orleans, I was looking at some of the trees that are still down Michael.
Yeah.
I mean, that
it's shocking. I drove by like 3 weeks after it happened.
That
was shocking. It was stunning.
Yeah, so, no, it's scary stuff. Yeah. It's to be taken seriously. And I think most people understand that. We hope. And it does make you feel silly talking about football. But at the same time, this is a sports talk show that we do, and that team is undefeated, playing very well, and we're all excited with the momentum that's been garnered because of it, and how proud I think Florida State fans are of this team with the way that they play and the confidence that it's building. They want to see the game, of course not at the expense of anybody's safety, but right now it looks like they'll probably play this game, but that could change.
The only worry you think, you never know with hurricanes for sure, but the only worry you really have is like people that were planning on coming to this game.
That's
what
I mean.
Leaving on Friday.
Yeah.
Well, you can't probably do that now.
Well, I had family coming up for this game that have already told me I'm not coming up because they can't.
I would hope more than anything if you are planning to come up, leave tonight, leave tomorrow, get up here. I mean, I know hotels are outrageous for football games, but maybe they wouldn't be so bad on a Wednesday or Thursday in Tallahassee. And it wouldn't be that. But I just don't be a hero and drive through this thing on Friday night trying to get here. That would be rough.
Just for my enjoyment, could you read Marcus's post in the chat in Brian Kelly voice?
I don't know that I can get all the way into character this early in the show.
Just give it a shot.
Dear Jeffrey, I wish you and your family a safe vacation.
A vacation.
Perhaps they could travel by way of the mighty Flea Flicker.
Is that Brian Kelly?
That is just a South Carolinian sort of accent there. Noel Kev, thank you. Bring in Middle Tennessee State to handle the hurricane. Yikes. Undefeated Middle Tennessee State all time against the University of Miami. 3-0.
They own the Canes.
Never trailed in any game ever against the University of Miami.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Middle Tennessee has never trailed.
They didn't. That was not fluky. What happened on Saturday?
Hey, listen, there are culture issues. It's interesting. By the way, let's go big perspective here for a second, because I think this is part of why so many Florida State fans, besides the wins, are so excited. We know how hard it is to get things flipped. It's so failed once. I mean, once Jimbo left, we failed miserably the next go around, and we weren't sure this was going to work out. I mean, coming into this season, you're kind of like, well, you better get it winning, because you know that if it doesn't happen early, it can maybe never happen. And it's funny, since we've moved to On3, Director Matthew here does a great job producing so many different shows. I've had the opportunity to branch out and do some other type things with other On3 properties. When you listen to people at Texas, I'll use Texas as an example. Man, that situation right now with Sark already in year two ain't good. Their fans are like, no, man, I'm not seeing it.
It's a bad loss.
It's an ugly loss, and they lost a ton last year. They weren't any good. Yeah. You know, they've had a moment each of the first 2 years where they thought, oh, it's looking – no, it's not getting better. It's not getting better. That was a fluke. Their fans are angry. Like, the people that pay the bills are like, players don't believe in this guy.
But after what you saw happen here the last 2 years, don't you have some sympathy for schools going – not Miami.
No sympathy for those guys.
But you can understand, how difficult this process can be.
Well, it's also why you feel a sense of relief, like this is happening right now the way it is, because you don't want to start over. You end up starting over in perpetuity in some cases. See Nebraska. So, you know, you're watching this. It's interesting. I mean, Miami after that loss, now listen, nobody goes to those games anyhow, but they have to be like, it's year one, but still, what the hell was that? That looked like a team completely disinterested in playing the football game.
What hurts, it's not just the loss. It's the the loss is a big part of it. But you had a really good quarterback then last year, and he's terrible now.
Well, yeah, they benched him.
He wasn't looking good against anybody.
I brought it up last week. He hasn't played well yet this year.
He was really good last year and thought of as like a potential first-round pick. And then you bring in a new offense that clearly he doesn't get or want to play in or just doesn't fit. That's not great. That's not a great look. You've got to tailor what you're doing towards your talent. And he's a talented kid, or at least I thought he was. Maybe that was a six-game aberration.
Well, on the other side of the ball, you bring in Kevin Steele, whatever they're paying him, and you just got torched.
Well, they did anything they wanted.
Torched.
Yeah, so it's great to watch Miami go through that. Everybody else you have a little empathy for, but not Miami.
Well, they probably didn't. They probably made fun of Florida State a little bit last September, I would think.
Until they lost to Florida State last year.
Well, right, yeah.
But I would just note that, I mean, it is another way to look at the current success, is that you feel like you're coming out of that very dangerous area where if it doesn't take hold, even if the coach is good. And there's always evidence. We see this all the time. There's evidence of coaches that are good coaches that have had successes elsewhere that don't make it work at their new place. So that's why the three of us have said repeatedly we thought Mike Norvell was a good football coach. Going to those practices, watching the way he operates, seeing the way that he conducts practice and talks to his players and teaches them and coaches them, the way that the coaches on the staff echo those sentiments, seem to be in line. We all thought, okay, I think the guy can coach. But we all also admitted that at some point, if the wins don't happen, it doesn't matter. He'll have to prove he can coach elsewhere. You know, is what's going to end up happening, because you reach a breaking point. And so coming out of that and seeing him successful right now, I mean, they could end up, let's say they lose. I don't think they will, but let's say they lose, I don't know, three in a row. I still think this resonates. I still think people will say, no, they're better. We can see it. There's proof here.
I do wonder how much the goalposts move. Because, you know, coming into the season, everybody's like, man, 8-4. 8-4, can you get to 8-4?
If you got to 8-4, it would be a great year.
Well, now,
but now
think about it. That means you go 4-4 in your last eight. You're not going to be fired up about that.
At the end of the year, if they're 8-4 going to a bowl and let's say you don't get swept by Florida and Miami. I don't know. Right. I think people would say, okay, let me take a step back. Yeah.
But in the moment, they're going to be like, this has been a disappointment. Because,
I think
the goalposts have shifted, I think, because of this start. I think.
Yeah, it's interesting. It depends on how the games play out and all that other stuff. They've got a golden opportunity this weekend. I really do think you're getting Wake at a good time for both squads. Now, the only thing that I'm a little apprehensive about as we start the week here is, again, how many of the guys on defense are you getting back? In particular, now, I know Fabian Lovett is arguably your most important defender in the middle, but against this slow-developing mesh, it feels like Verse has to come back for this game to kind of wreak havoc. You know, you need that guy because you don't really have anybody else. It was good to see Briggs take a step forward last week.
But it's weird. Like, you watch that game, and Clemson's got those guys. They've got multiple of those guys. And Tyler Davis had some plays where he just blew up what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
But, man, then they get right back on schedule. Like,
it's crazy.
They're
relentless.
The perception I have always had of them, and even offense is kind of like that, is – man, if you can just make that one tackle for loss, get them out of rhythm, get them off schedule, get them out of their tempo, and that's going to be a three and out, or you're going to stop that drive. But, man, they, because of the receivers, because of Hartman, they can eliminate those losses now. And you've got to win multiple downs to get them off schedule.
I thought it was a weird game, though, because, Ira, when you go back and watch that game, the game starts exactly the way Clemson would want it to. Mm-hmm. They're destroying the offensive line for Wake Forest. They're putting pressure on Hartman. They get out to a 14-0 lead, so now they can dictate terms of the game. You're like, this is going to be a long day at the office for Wake Forest. And then they started to lose some guys in the secondary. They had a couple of empty drives. Wake played well on defense. And then that first score for Wake shifted everything. They were a one-possession game again, and they began to just kind of – also, Clemson decided at some point early – well, we're going to make you be patient early and run the ball. But once Wake got back into it, then they could do both. It was really fascinating to watch. I don't think the game plays out quite the same way this weekend if it's played. I actually am with you, Ira. I read your 3-2-1. I was prepared to have to argue with you. And then I read it and went, well, damn it, we're on the same page here.
What's the fun in that?
Yeah,
I'll bring up something we can argue. I'll come up with something we can argue about.
The thing about that game is, and I don't think anybody in a Florida State fan or media member, anybody that follows this team, thinks that this secondary has played great. Certainly the corners have played great. But, man, they've got to be better than Clemson's corners played.
Well, those corners got beat a lot.
That was ridiculous.
The one kid, you shouldn't really feel bad for anybody that's on football scholarship at Clemson. Yeah, I mean, he has a pretty good life, but, man, that was a long day.
You couldn't put somebody else in there just to give him a shot?
He got the PBU at the end, though, to win the game. Yeah. He dropped the interception, but it was a PBU.
Right.
But, look,
hands.
I think going into this game, you have to do something with the side judges and be like, you can't call pass interference every time there's a little bit of contact running down the sideline. That's not fair to DBs. There were some of those plays. Now, there were
that's part of how it works for Wake, though.
Exactly,
they throw it up.
And they know.
And they know that.
Especially at home. Remember the terrible one they had?
It happens all the time.
But especially at home, you're going to hear groans from the crowd, and this side judge is going to be, and throw the flag out.
How's he doing?
I don't want to yell at me. Let me throw the flag.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hopefully, they're not throwing five pass interference penalties this week at Doak Campbell Stadium. Maybe Wake doesn't get those calls on the road. You have to hope because there's going to be contact. You can't not budge.
Well, I think part of the problem is that Hartman, when he sees any one-on-one, he is going to throw it up. He's going to throw it as high as he can throw it, and then it's going to come up short in some cases, and you're going to get that running in.
It happens.
And Florida State doesn't do that well against normal offenses.
I mean,
It's hard to do. And you would hope this is a week where you can be like, look, you got an opportunity to make a play on the ball. It's going to be up there for a while. You got a chance to make a play on the ball, guys.
And Fuller said as much yesterday. Well, he talked about that a lot.
And I was going to say, we were watching practice this morning, and you could see the DBs. I mean, at one point, Corey was like, man, looks like last year. The DBs are breaking everything up.
Yeah, they dominated the receivers for large chunks today.
And Norvell talked about it afterwards. He said, you know, that is a point of emphasis. I mean, all the time, but definitely this week because of those receivers and because of the way they play.
A lot to get to today on Seminole Headlines. We got a lot of questions. 5 pages I printed out right here, boys. I want to get credit. Look at all these pages I printed out.
You going to read our man Z-Chan's?
I'm about to do it.
Oh, sorry.
Let me conduct the show.
Sorry, that's my bad.
I've been doing this
that's
a while. I got this, all right? Good to see you, Z-Chan, as always. He writes, good day, fellas. Saw an awesome post about attention to details and Pokey Wilson faking a catch to throw a defender off. Do you guys see those things being coached during practice, or was that just a heads-up play by Pokey? I see him well coached during practice. We've all seen him well
coached. Yeah, I've never seen them coach that. But
I haven't either.
But
either.
I do know that they coach a lot of little details. And I remember one day during the summer, I never brought this up, but one day I was walking in the parking lot, and Malik McLean was walking by, and Norvell was walking from the other, like in the other direction, and he's screaming across the parking lot like some instruction for something he should do.
Yeah,
I think it was like, I think Norvell had just been up like watching spring practice or something, like watching film, and saw something he wanted Malik to do differently as a receiver, and he was like, couldn't wait till the next time they met in person.
He just started screaming it.
Telling him across the parking lot. So, yeah, I do think – I wouldn't surprise me at all if that's been taught, but I think it may be a more of a meeting room thing because we've never seen them teach that.
Yeah, and the play that he's talking about is – I think it's the 4th-and-9 to McDonald, right, early in the game. It's a great throw, great route. It's like a 35-yard pass.
BC really wasn't interested in covering the tight end
at
for
all.
Much of the night.
But Pokey is running a vertical, and he does – he looks up and acts like a ball is coming into his hands as the ball's being thrown to McDonald.
So the safety's
the
thinking.
Safety scooted over and got out of the way a little bit.
Glorious thing, and it is attention to detail, and I think you could honestly say that even though we haven't seen that taught, if you just watch this team play through four games, they pay attention to detail. They do a lot of things really, really well. They execute what they're attempting to do each week pretty damn well. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV continues in a moment. Thanks for listening, Headliners. As always, we appreciate it. We made it, guys. It is the start of the season. We would thank all of our sponsors, but right now we're going to thank Horizons because we're about to go have delicious food and some ice-cold beer, and we're going to enjoy the patio, and we're going to celebrate the return of football.
You're going to sing?
I'm not going to sing this time. I'm not singing this time. Guys, you know the jingle. You know how it goes, and you also know that if you go in there and sing it to them, you get your meal for free. Is that something
completely
we've agreed upon?
Free.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
get all the chicken, and shrimp, and everything.
But you're not going to sing?
I'm not going to sing. Sorry, guys. Y'all act like you don't like it, so I don't want to do it. But what we do like, I like the pimento cheese, and I love
you
the
do.
Chicken sandwich that they have.
You're
Their chicken sandwich is on point. Like, it's as good as there is in the game.
The 38 thing it's called.
38
right?
chicken sandwich.
Yeah, it's
delicious.
I like it. But I always get sunset or sunrise shrimp. It's the one with the sun in it, guys. It's the shrimp. It's good.
That's what I was going to say.
It's really good, yeah.
You get it in the tacos.
I do. I get
it
also.
And we get it as an appetizer.
That's right.
It is fantastic.
All the food is great.
Great beer selection, Horizons. Great people. We sit on the patio. It's going to be that type
Soon
of weather during
done.
Football
Beautiful.
Season.
We've had celebrations at Horizons before.
We have, man. We go there. You actually have a pretty decent chance of seeing one of us
and
because we're at Horizons
a lot.
That's
really the draw.
That is the draw. We might be there, folks. And I was going to say, I've been there for brunch. I don't know if you two gentlemen have been there for brunch. Mm-hmm. But you got the NFL season coming right around the corner. It's going to be, by you listening to this, it might have already started. Go there for brunch, and then you got your DirecTV. You can watch your NFL teams while you're eating your eggs.
Ira, where is Horizons?
It's up on Bannerman Crossing off Thomasville Road at the intersection of Bannerman back there in that plaza. You know who's what favorite restaurant Santa Claus's favorite restaurant is?
Oh,
I'm not doing it.
Come on, man.
Almost got him. All right.
Ho, Horizons.
And that's a wrap.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
My bookie has a question, and it's this. You know football. You guys pick winners all the time. Why not get paid for them at my bookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlay multiple together to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won. Make it so you don't have to become a pro gambler to have fun. Get started easy, easy, easy. Just visit mybookie.ag and use promo code WARCHANT on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That simple. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and win. So make this your winning season exclusively at MyBookie. All right, boys. Let's pick a score for Saturday on the heels of MyBookie here. They play the game. Little wet, inclement conditions, maybe. Maybe we're not real sure. I don't know.
Well, last night, somebody told me that they were hearing, this was not a meteorologist, but it was somebody I was talking to at FSU, said that they were hearing maybe 1 to 2 inches of rain for Tallahassee. So not terrible.
Not terrible, right? That field drains pretty well.
I'm going to say I'm going Florida. We're picking the score, right?
Yeah, sure.
Gonna go
early in the week, picking the score.
45-35, Florida State.
High scoring affair, fair enough. That's seemingly on line with Vegas. Corey?
I'm going to say 33-27.
A little lower scoring affair, huh? You're going with the under two? You're going to couple that with the under? Because it was 64.5 to start
the
week.
Yeah, I guess I'm going with the under two. And also didn't say who I think is going to win.
Ooh,
so just throwing that.
Intrigue.
You just asked for a score. You didn't ask for a winner.
I like 41-34, Florida State.
Okay. Right. You guys like this offense. This offense is doing some things.
I hate Wake's defense, and I really like this offense.
Yeah.
So, and the only reason I went as low as 41 is the weather.
Here's something with the offense I was thinking about. So remember when a former head coach was here that had a lot of success between 2010 and 17,
I remember
somewhere
that guy. Yeah, I knew that guy.
Remember how we used to lament that you would watch other teams play football, other teams play offense?
It looked so much easier.
There was always guys running open.
Yeah, like, and like they schemed
it
open.
How come nobody's ever open? And then it's
like wide open.
You just never saw it. They would make plays. They would move the ball. They would have success. You just never saw dudes running free. This offense is getting guys running free.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty regularly.
That word is hard. It's beating your ass. That word came in swinging on Ira today. Like,
I could say DJ.
That was a TKO in the first.
Regularly.
A little pop to the face. Then you try to say it again. It popped you again. It was just dancing around. I was like, get you some, Ira. Here's some more.
He sees I'm coming back, though.
You keep coming for him.
I'll try 6, 7, 8 times to get a word right.
You may lose this round, Ira, but you're still here.
Consistently is what you're trying. Maybe consistently.
But that's pretty cool, isn't it? I mean, they're getting guys. I mean, look, Jordan's playing great.
Oh, he is.
But some of these throws, he's got guys wide ass open.
But he has done such a good job. I keep saying this. I'm a broken record about the pre-snap stuff. What I look at is, you know, what he sees on defense, and then you have to go back sometimes because the TV angle isn't always great. But how he's able to slide protections, he does so many things so well pre-snap that I think that once the ball snaps, it's easy for him. Right. He has a very good idea of what he's looking at and what he's got to do and who should be open. And then even when things break down, and this is the part of Jordan that was always in place. So now the hard part's done. I'm reading the defense. I understand the concepts. I've slid protection. I've identified. Something breaks down and goes awry. Guy misses a block. Somebody blitzes late, whatever it might be. He's so freaking calm. I mean, when he's out of the – so he makes that guy miss always. So that first guy's screwed. He ain't going to tackle him.
Yeah.
So he makes him miss. Now your play, the timing of your play is ruined at that point. Everything you thought you were going to do in rhythm is now done. But watch, I mean, he just slides.
To your point, on the scramble, the long scramble he had, when he fakes the pitch, he gets up to the line of scrimmage, that's pretty cool, man. Because, like, again, you would think you're running for your life at that moment because that play could have gone sideways.
Yeah.
And instead, you've got the composure to
– the game's so slow to him, Ira, right now. I really believe it.
Yeah.
It's so – I mean, he has so much faith in his ability to make anybody miss in the open field, first of all, or to buy time in the pocket. And then secondarily, whenever he graduated, whenever that was, maybe the last 4 or 5 games last year, I don't know, because that's when he did start to play really well. But something happened with his understanding of this offense and his trust in himself to stay looking down the field. Look how few of these highlight scrambles he has. Now, he had one this last game that was electrifying, and it was good to see, especially coming off the injury. Yeah. But he has run so little. I mean, he's always looking to make a play with his arm, and it's because I've made you miss, now I'm going to look downfield. His guys never quit on plays because they know he's going to find them down the field. That is a joy. Now, it will change. Somebody will force him to do something different at some point, but nobody's been able to do it as of yet, and I don't think Wake can either.
I can't, and I was probably, of the three of us, maybe the biggest Jordan Travis, I don't know, defender, champion, whatever you want to call me, last year and the year before, just because of the competition he was going up against.
Like, I think I've been right there with
you. You were right there with me. Just because the other options were just not great. I can't believe how good he is. Like, I'm surprised by this. I did not know his ceiling was this high. And I thought it was, you know, I thought he was a good player at the end of last year, but I didn't know he could reach this. And he's become literally one of the better players in the United States.
Think about if everybody in the fan base and media had erased their memories and you only saw him now. Like, you don't have any memories of whatever preconceived notions of what he is from a year or two ago, and you just saw him now. If anybody, you'd think, man, that guy's one of the top.
He's really good.
He's one of the top, very top players in the country.
Yeah, no, it's true. That's why I'm absolutely stupefied. Like, it's one thing to make the argument, and we used to go at it with each other, but I always thought it was kind of, you know, there were shades of gray in that.
And he's the best option available.
Correct. Right. Like, it's one thing to make the argument, hey, look, Jeff, great. He doesn't do certain things well. What the hell else are you going to do? That was a fair retort. You guys would say that,
and you were right. And we had that argument last year, and I think it might have been last season in the spring, and I was like, I'm just tired of the conversation.
Because they don't have another option.
Yeah, he's defending him, and you're saying he's not a quarterback at that time. And I'm like, well, I mean, this is, what are we doing? They don't have anybody else.
Yeah, they didn't have anybody else. That is an entirely different argument than the three of us are talking about now and in agreement on. That he has progressed so much as a quarterback.
Yep.
The things you have to do as a quarterback, not just a great player who can run around, but a guy who can read a defense, pre-snap, slide protection, make accurate throws, understand where he's going with the football, keep his eyes downfield, attack all aspects of the field. Like, an opposing defense now has to worry about him throwing to every part of the field. They didn't a year ago. They just didn't.
Yeah.
So he's taken this huge step forward, and that's why I commend him as often as I can now, because I see it. I celebrate it. I'm happy for him. I'm happy for Florida State. That guy is an elite player right now. It's remarkable.
Never in a million years would I have thought this team would be 4-0, averaging whatever they're averaging, 38 points per game, and he has less than 100 yards rushing in four games. He's had two runs the whole season. But what he does, like you pointed out, so that play near the goal line, that either that's a missed read by the lineman, or Jordan didn't see it in time, and that blitzer comes free. He scrambles out of it. And then you end up having a 30-yard play because of his athleticism, because it's still there. And then he had the scramble he had. And then don't forget the Louisville game where the throw to Johnny Wilson down to the two on the first drive. He spins out of that. That's not normal. So it
not it, well. Are you talking about the throw where he gets him on the scramble against Johnny Wilson, kind of like in the – he's rolling to his left?
Yeah, and he back shoulders him down to the two.
But that was the other part of it. If he throws it – if he's not completely accurate with that throw, it gets broken up.
Yes.
Like, he throws it in a perfect spot on the run.
I also don't think last year he even tries to throw the ball. He's going to try to scramble for whatever he can get. He trusts his receivers. His receivers are clearly better. But, man, he has just risen his game to a point that I didn't know it was possible. I mean, I don't know that you could say he's not one of the 10 or 12, 15 best quarterbacks in the country. It might be higher than that, all I know.
I think he's higher than that.
He's certainly in the conversation. The way he's for played
through,
that, you
know. Who's played better through four games? I know there's some. The Hartman kid's certainly very good,
because
too.
Because he's doing all of those things, but then he also has that X factor, the athletic ability. Also,
it has not been unleashed yet.
Right, which you would think it might in some of these other games as the competition gets tougher. I just want to give a shout-out to Life Spectator, who had my back. He suggested, I could have said, with regularity. Instead of letting me flail away,
regularity, you could say, without
making,
any problem,
and making
right.
fun of me
regularly,
he offered another option.
With regularity, is a lot easier.
Right,
that flows out of the mouth a lot better. Yeah. And, you could have said consistently.
But
too.
You guys,
well, look,
just
man,
laugh.
It was hard to watch.
You just point fingers and laugh.
He said something. I just watched you continue to battle.
You just,
was like, I'm watching my man go to war.
Let me drown.
Like, wait, he's hit you again. He's still standing there.
Yeah, he's going to hawk up something here if he keeps trying to say it.
Yeah, but you would mention Jordan Travis with like Hendon Hooker right now, who's playing insane football and who just single-handedly beat Florida last week. And you would mention him alongside like the four or five. Yeah, Hartman, you mentioned, has played so well so far this year. They're like 10 guys right now that have played consistently well in every game, and he's amongst them.
But also, I think that maybe the difference is, and I don't know enough about Heupel's offense, but I feel like, he has a lot of quarterbacks that do good things in that offense, or will. I mean, I think he's got a good offense. Obviously, the North Carolina kid,
but also
they always put up a ton of yards.
And the running's such a big part of what they're doing.
Yeah,
with
Jordan, we've seen what this offense looks with a pedestrian quarterback or not. I think North Carolina's quarterbacks are always going to put up big numbers, and they're always going to look good. I think juxtaposed to how this offense has looked for 2 years and what he's done these last, four games and the last four games of last year, I just think he's playing at a level that it's hard to even evaluate, because, we don't know what this offense looks at full capacity, but I think we do now. I think we're starting to see it.
But I think it's important that simultaneously, and the quarterback is always going to get the praise, and he should. We just got done praising him, rightfully so. But, man, Alex Atkins with this offensive line has done remarkable things as well. They've lost plenty of guys even this year, and they're still above average. Now, I worry, I've said it for 2 weeks when I go back and watch games, that I'm not in love with Turnentine at right tackle. He's clearly much better suited as a guard. I do think that can end up catching up to you. It's a good thing you have a mobile quarterback back there, because I do think he's going to have some trouble in pass pro. But the point is, that marriage, the growth of this offensive line, the teaching of this offensive line by Adkins, and then going out and getting some guys that you could withstand some injuries, which a year ago you couldn't. If you lost somebody, you were in deep, deep trouble. That has all come together and allowed for that growth. They went out and got receivers. So everybody has really contributed, and Jordan, of course, took the next step, and that really opened things up with this offense. Now, I think that the offense can get even better as long as they don't suffer any more injuries on this offensive line, because he's incorporating everybody.
Yeah,
I mean, there are guys that we did not suspect would come into the season and ever have a night like they've all taken turns having. I mean, you go into a game now, you're like, well, who knows? Could be Wilson, could be Micah's night,
Other Wilson?
Yeah.
Williamson?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing you said it earlier. There's nothing a defense could look at this team and say, okay, if we just take care of this, we're okay.
Right.
Because that's not the case.
Yeah, that's why it was exciting to me that Johnny Wilson didn't have a huge game.
Yeah, but
that's
barely
okay.
Did anything.
Good.
Yeah.
Because if teams decide to shade a safety that way, good. These other guys have to make plays, and they just did. Now, again, I think there will be some teams that figure some things out, but I believe the offense is going to score against most teams.
And the topic we haven't brought up too much yet, well, at least not in this segment, is, I mean, this game, if you're going to win this game, you're going to have to win on defense from the standpoint of you're going to have to get some stops.
Yeah.
And that is going to be a huge task.
Yeah, a real big task. And again, it's even worse if you don't have all your pieces. We don't know. We won't be told, I'm sure, about who's coming back on defense or not. I would, if you could collapse that mesh point, to me, Verse is a key to doing that. I don't know if he's back this week or not. Really quick, want to at least acknowledge some folks here. Eric, as he does on a daily basis, contributing to what we do. Do you guys think the ACC, Michael Alford, perhaps Wake Forest's AD, moved the game to Sunday afternoon to give more time for fans to travel and Wake Forest to be able to travel? Go Noles, 5-0. I don't. Not if they don't have to. I don't foresee that happening. Again, storms are unpredictable, so we'll wait and see if there are any change in its trajectory. But no, I don't think so.
Yeah, and thanks, Eric, for the donation, man. Thank you a lot. I would think maybe more likely would be maybe moving it to the night.
Saturday night.
Yeah, and also, this is what I was going to say, because South Carolina is going to be being pummeled by Saturday, according to the models and projections. It'll be pummeled. There is at least a chance.
And now, stay the night?
Well, no, that Clemson NC State gets moved. That's a marquee game, and
you don't want it to be played
in a torrential downpour, although they've done it before. They did it with Notre Dame in that stadium. Maybe they move that to Sunday, and the ACC is like, well, why don't we move the Florida State Wake to a primetime 8 o'clock game? Just saying,
well,
that's a possibility.
That wouldn't suck, Corey. I love that rosy outlook of yours, sir.
That's what I do. And maybe awesome. Move game day, too, because you can't have game day at a site where they're not playing the game.
It's a deluge. You might as well roll on over
roll
here.
Roll over to Tallahassee, man.
Just as long as NC State and Clemson do play, and hopefully double overtime type football, a brutal physical affair.
Wouldn't that be good for Florida State
allows,
and NC State on a short week after Clemson?
5 hours of football, of grueling football into overtime.
Well, and to go to Eric's question, I don't know that that would certainly not behoove Florida State to play on Sunday and have a short week going into NC State. They would really try to avoid that.
And it would give Wake an extra day to rest from the Clemson game, which was a really physical game.
Yeah. Pappy, back in the chat here, the Silver Fox. Look forward to meeting
you.
The Silver Fox,
yeah. Look forward to meeting you guys at the Florida game finally. How many more, if any, games do you think Jordan Travis will throw for over 300? I know what the pass says, but I'm taking two more. Well, I got one this weekend, although you can make an argument that the opposite approach would benefit Florida State here, and that is to run the hell out of the football against a Wake defense that doesn't stop the run well. It also keeps Sam Hartman off the field, so maybe I need to rethink that. I just did it live.
Go score. Don't worry about keeping him off the field.
It doesn't hurt you to play complimentary. Complimentary is coming after me, but I tackled it really quick. I just got back after it. But woo, there's a couple shots from complimentary.
just
stung me a little bit. Get my hands up, complimentary. So here you go, really quick. I do think it doesn't hurt you to obviously play a little bit, help your defense out. Hartman's lit up a better defense than this one.
I think they're really just going to – I think they're going to do what – I think they're going to let Wake Forest determine how Florida State's going to
– How do you want to get beat, Wake?
Basically.
Yeah. How do you want to get beat here?
Yep. I mean, if you want to stack the box, they'll throw the ball.
Sure. That's fun
to
do.
And I think that's what Boston College did, right? Like, they seemed pretty intent on stopping the run, taking it away. And they did for good portions of that game. Trayshawn Ward probably had 8 runs of 0 or 1 yards.
Yeah, and this is where I do think
now Florida State can beat you. You can you take that away. They got the horses and the guy pulling the trigger that can beat you. Where it's not just, okay, if we take away the run, we take away Florida State's offense. That's not the case anymore.
Thank goodness.
Man, isn't it fun?
Yeah, because I used to go in every week thinking, if this team can take away this, we're not going to be able to beat them in the pass game because of our receivers. And, you know, now I'm like, oh, well, no, well, Jordan's got a handle on this.
You watch the Clemson game with Wake, and you're like, okay, well, there's a recipe there because you're probably not going to dominate that defensive line like Wake didn't. Wake couldn't dominate that defensive line, but you got wide receivers out wide that will give those corners problems. They can't, if they want to put them on an island, good, go for it. You're going to give up a lot of points just like you did to Wake.
Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Thinking about conversations that we could have where we would grow tired and just throw our palms to the sky the way Ira did when Corey and I would argue about Jordan Travis over the summer. Close games require you to make a kick every now and again, guys.
Let's not bring up that. He made one.
I think he made them all today at practice.
He did. And they looked good coming off his foot, which, again, people might say, well, it's practice. What does it matter? Well, we watch him in practice, and it's not always the case. It's not like he's just smoking them down the middle.
I do think
all the time at practice, but he looked good today at practice.
We can approach this pragmatically, though, without like taking undue shots at the kid. Obviously, he's struggling mightily when you're missing extra points off the come on. Even the kicks he makes, they barely go in.
Yeah.
So there's a difference between practice and a game. We know that. We see in the game he's feeling immense pressure. You see it. It's written all over his face when you go back and watch the games, too. That part I feel bad for. I hate seeing people that are, I don't want to say scared, but he's obviously stressed. It stinks because a lot of people, and this has gone on for years when your kicker's struggling, you hear people say, well, they got to get somebody else in there. It ain't that easy, man. They don't have another guy on scholarship that can kick. They got a walk-on, and he's not any good. So
we don't know that. Well, we don't know that.
Okay. Well. You're at the same practice as I'm at. But the point would be,
I think the thing, I would say this. I do think you could – if you're Mike Norvell, you're asking yourself, why did we not bring in another kicker? Because you can have multiple walk-on kickers.
Do you put it out there? I mean, schools have done it before. Where you put it out there. Like,
we've seen schools do it during the season.
Yeah.
Those have open tryouts.
Well, it's funny because
they're not at that point, though. I think that they believe, and he talked about it today, that they believe he's a talented kicker and he's going to get through it. It's just a matter of getting through it. I think back to Kaysen Beatty all the time. I mean,
he eventually figured it out for that final season, right. And I agree, it can happen.
Yeah, but that's a punter. A punter doesn't impact the game like a kicker does.
Dude, he impacted the game a lot.
They still won. He wasn't impacting the game where Norvell's like, this is a 44-yard field goal to put us up by 10, but I don't trust this kicker to make it, so we got to go for it. Like, that's the calculus he has to do now in these games.
And
he did it a lot against Boston College.
Well, he's going to have to do it,
And they were all right in that spot where it made sense. But what if he's at... You know, what if they're winning this game 33-28?
Well, I hate the idea that Florida State's maybe on the verge of a magical season, and they're going to have to win a couple of these games where it's the final drive, and you might need to kick a 42-yard field goal to win it. And there's nobody on earth that thinks when that kid trots out there that that's going through the uprights.
I think there's a way that's going to free my man up.
He's going to be like,
here goes nothing.
That's a theory.
Here goes nothing. Nobody. I don't expect to make this. You don't either. Nobody expects me here. I'm going to take a good swing at it. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Let the chips fall where they may.
Well, I'd love to see him come out the other side because there has been evidence that he can be a decent kicker, to good kicker. But, it needs to happen sooner rather than later because you have a stretch of three games now that you figure will be close games.
Yeah,
will be close games. And until that time, I mean, the only reason Mike's having to address this is because Mike's having to address this. I mean,
you think it would hurt his confidence if like they spent like an entire special teams period on fake field goals?
Yeah. Just
running a bunch of different fake field goals. Like
Fitzy,
or eight different fake field goal plays.
Fitzy, which side do you feel better rolling to? With a ball in your hand?
Can you throw either hand?
Isn't this usually when I kick field goals? We're just going to work on something different.
Something a little different. But Coach is a 36 yarder.
How about you pitching? Yeah. You pitching it to Mastromano. He's going to throw it to Cam McDonald.
I don't know if you've ever seen this, Fitzy. He's got a good arm.
Yeah.
He's got a good arm. Go out for a route. Go run one of these. Yeah. No, I don't know. It's also
they just have fourth down day. where all they do is practice going for it on fourth down.
Lord knows they practice special teams a lot. Yeah. You just, you know,
you
wouldn't be that
marry
different.
It into just fourth down drills.
Well, we wondered aloud not long ago, what do you do with McCall because he was running or tiptoeing. We saw what they did. You know, they went to somebody
cool
else.
And, were you in the stadium? Were you in the stadium? That was a cool moment. I didn't realize because, you know, those we got soundproof press box, but it was really loud.
I was watching my kids' faces and laughing at them because it was so cool when he gets outside and you realize he's going to go or has a chance to go. Just because they've never seen that. They've never seen that. And surely none of us expected it, but Benson ran like a man several times. Boy, Wake Forest. Oh, there were a couple of those whoo moments for
Boston
those
college.
What did I say? Wake Forest. Yeah, I'm thinking about the ass kicking they're going to take. But yeah, the violence with which Benson ran. There it is.
That was
folks.
Good to see.
That was
the kid we saw against LSU. I thought. I know LSU's different than BC, but he just wasn't running like that.
The second half of the Louisville game is when it seemed
that
like
last drive. Yeah. He's a different. I mean, again, he's a difference maker, and he had never done anything in a game that mattered since high school. Nothing.
How about the run he had that was Greg Jones? I mean,
running over that poor
runs
bastard,
over the one
and
guy
knocks his helmet
and then
off
knocks the other guy's helmet off.
And then Micah Pittman, too, just slamming into dudes. That kid's a tough dude. By the way, Jason mentioned me doing a shirtless celebration, which isn't going to happen. But Ira's heard this, Jeff. I know you don't listen to Wake Up War Chant.
I do sometimes.
Do you think it's weird that I sent Aslan a shirtless pic of myself?
Incredibly.
When's the last time you sent a shirtless pic to another guy?
I never have.
Never?
There has never been a moment to do so.
Hmm. But look,
that'd be a strange.
At first, I told him if he sent it to me, I'd block him. But then I thought, you know what? If
you
he sent it to me,
it
I would tweet it.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Well, that's why I wouldn't send it to you. I made Aslan delete it.
Guys, what do I do?
But Aslan works out a lot. He's a workout fiend. I thought he'd be proud of his partner for the strides that I'd made. That's all.
I don't think we should have said this publicly.
It's fine. It's already out
he
there.
He did it on their show, and I texted him that morning, and I said, holy blank.
Yeah. What are you doing?
You're talking about that on the radio.
Yeah. People hear these things.
It's vain. I don't care, but I felt good about my – I sent it to Stephanie.
That's beyond
vain,
man.
Half as a joke.
Vain is looking yourself in the mirror and thinking it. Sending it to somebody is a whole different level.
I took a picture, and I just went down my contacts. I'm like, who wants to see this? Who wants to see this?
So I begin every morning with a shower, and I take a picture of myself naked, and then when my wife wakes up, it's waiting on her phone.
that's nice.
It's just a good way to start the day.
That's normal.
I can understand that, but never to another dude.
Right. I mean, I just thought.
That's what happened.
I thought. And most of it was, it was probably half joke, half, hey, look, man, your partner's trying to get in shape.
Yeah, we should go another direction. We should move on in another direction. That actually, for all the fun we have and yucking it up, that's a little, come on, man.
It's a little concerning.
It's a little weird. It speaks to a mindset I'm a little worried about.
Well, when else would he ever see
what
me
What kind
shirtless?
Of approval are you searching
well,
for here,
a lot.
Man?
I'm a little worried.
Man.
I'm not doing this just for myself. I'm doing it for all of your enjoyment,
that's
too.
Apparent.
I want you to enjoy this, Ira. We need to go to break. I will take off my shirt for you, Ira.
I will take a picture of it.
Stop this madness.
Sorry.
Let's get back to the show. I'm frightened. All right. We were talking about something. Oh, we were talking about
Trey
players
Benson.
Making plays. Benson, whom you'll never look like. So keep your shirt
That's true. I wonder if he sends shirtless picks out. I'd do that all the time if I had that. Are you kidding me?
But we said going into the game, we talked about things we wanted to see, the carryover for certain players and stuff like that. So Benson, you mentioned at the end of the Louisville game, looked like he was running tough. And would it carry over? Well, the answer was an emphatic hell yes.
I just think it's a mentality. When you run through that face mask and yank your head back, that's a mentality. Most guys don't do that, and he hadn't been running that way. And it seemed like that was like, okay, this is who I am now, and you saw it in that game. And I thought, man, that was one of the most –
I think it's contagious too, though,
well,
right?
That's what I was going to say. One of the most impressive things about that game – and look, man, this is a bad BC team. I wrote it in my thing. This is probably the worst BC team we've seen. I know they had a 2-10 team one,
they're beat to
one year.
Yeah.
But they don't want to be there, it looks like. But, man, it was cool to see a Florida State team. It's been a while.
Demolish somebody they should.
It reminded me, again, I've shared this before, T-Buck said one time that – back in the day when we stepped in that stadium, we knew we were there to give an ass-whipping, and the other team
and
they knew
that ass-whipping was coming.
They were there
exactly. And that's what that game felt like.
Headliner questions forthcoming. Stay with. Hour number two will be right around the corner. 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.